This NBA season, make every three-pointer, alley-oop, and buzzer-beater even more exciting with FanDuel. You can bet on everything from first baskets and number of dunks to which player will drain the most threes. Or stack your bets with the same-game parlay for a shot to win even bigger. It's quick, easy, and you'll get your winnings fast. So download the app today and see why we're North America's number one sportsbook. Make every moment more with FanDuel. 19 plus and physically located in Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-866-531-2600 or visit connectsontario.ca.
Welcome to the Confederacy of Dunks
Basketball Podcast.
I am your host, and who, sir, are you?
I'm the producer, Matt Duncan. Freddie, we're heading to game six. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling absolutely wonderful. Me and you will be going to the game.
That's right.
So that's exciting.
Huge.
If anyone's just like tuning in for the first time or coming back, thank you to both parties. We are like a Raptors, I want to say like fanatic podcast. We're hardcore fans, performers. We have analysts on, you know, we got all types, but you just got to be like a hardcore Raptors and or NBA fan. So thanks for joining us.
I mean, speaking of how hardcore we are, Fred, last night during the game, I double booked an appointment during the game for a massage therapy session. Like I did this like months ago, and then I got too busy and I was like, I just got to go and I got to figure out how to watch the game halfway through, whatever. I get to the massage therapist. She's waiting on the stairs. She goes, "What are you doing here? It's winter, go home."
Wow.
She sent me home.
Amazing. I wasn't sure, like, waiting on the stairs.
It's in a house. I should say that it's in a house. But she was waiting. She's like, "No, go home."
I don't know why I went straight to Saving Private Ryan. Like the woman's like washing the dishes and the general shows up.
Oh God.
Literally sad. Okay, sad moment. Let's move on from that sadness. But we are absolute hardcore. Thank you all for joining us. And I think we're probably going to hop right to it.
Yeah.
But let me just say, I've been saying off the top of the episodes ever since. But if you don't know anything about the Brittany Griner situation, make sure you inform yourself. It's very disheartening and awful. And I think it's something that we all need to engage with. Obviously, there's a lot going on right now. But take some time to familiarize yourself. And if you can advocate in any way, please do so. It's a horrible situation that hopefully is resolved sooner rather than later. I'm very excited for this show. So let's kind of dive right in. And I'll intro guest number one. She's been on this podcast a bunch of times. She's definitely like an OG of this podcast, but is also, you know, all over the place, whether it's like UpRocks, Dishes and Dimes, Yahoo, Raptors.com, Basketball Feelings, The Daily Beast. She's amazing. You should know her if you're in Raptors land at all. Give it up as loud as you can, even if you're at home alone, for Katie Heindel.
I was wondering if I would still get my song.
Of course.
Sick new intro, guys.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. And that song's still weird and it's still great. So
super weird.
We had Kyle Brickman on from Raptors Republic last week and we really built up the music portion. And he was like, "I think that's just royalty free music, isn't it?"
Yeah, but it's so the continuity of that song, you know, it like takes me back to other times that we've done the show. To like when we've all actually been in person together doing the show, like it is really disorienting because it will time travel me, I guess I should say.
Okay, but I like that. I like that. Yeah. Back to the junction, Maddie D's place. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's bring on guest number two. Cause I want to start talking Raptors ball as soon as we can. She's incredible. Comedian, writer, podcaster, you know, from Son of a Critch or Run the Burbs or This Hour's 22 Minutes. Incredible stand-up as well. Also runs my WNBA podcast with me, The Pickup. Give it up as loud as you can, even if you're at home alone, for Catherine Nyker.
I was doing my dance on an angle and it looks so gnarly.
I was ready to do the dance too, but then I waved to Katie, so I was like, I'll wave to Catherine too. Oh my God. Wasn't very fancy.
We really messed that up. Freddie, thank you so much for shouting out all my credits except for the Buckets and Tea NBA podcast, ooh, also on Raptors Republic, but it's fine. I love this so much. Also, I just want to give a quick shout out to the new video intro. Mm-hmm. Really loved it. It does say like Bobby Webster and then Adam Silver as if they are the stars of this podcast.
They're not. Yeah.
And we're just the actors that get credits at the end. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to them joining us later.
Yeah, they'll, Matt goes hard on the Bobby Webster, Adam Silver stuff. But it's an inside joke for the fans that have been here for a long time. Anyone new is totally confused. I'm sure.
That's how I like it.
But I mean, if anything, it just encourages people to check it out on YouTube and then you'll see exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah. You'll see that Bobby Webster never does the show.
Never say never.
One day, what? Like, honestly, like just goals, you know?
Totally. I'll be that like, Bobby. Be cool.
Matt could do at least a 1 hour interview with his favorite Bobby Webster. I'm pretty certain.
Oh yeah,
for sure. Yeah, I don't know where to riff, what direction to riff in, but I was just gonna say get that man some nice coffee and I think that's like a start, right?
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Okay, let's get right into this. Maddie D, good sir, give me your most delicious Raptors sting.
Linda, we are selling the restaurant and I'm opening a sort of shawarma at the Scotiabank Arena.
Okay. The inside jokes, I keep coming. Let me just try and unpack that one quickly. So sort of shawarma, I'm into that. I believe that is it the voice actor, Ben, or he's a comedian. What's that guy's name?
H. John Benjamin.
Yeah. Was it him?
Well, yeah, it was actually Bob from Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, it's Bob's Burgers.
Right. I've never seen Bob's Burgers. Oh, apologies.
Me neither, Freddie.
Oh, but, God.
H. John Benjamin has a van. I have seen.
You know what? He's also the voice of Archer.
That's true.
From the show Archer. Never which seen is that. Actually how I know his voice more. And then it's like, oh, he's also Bob's Burgers. And then they did like a weird like mashup at one point.
Hmm.
That's just like 2010s programming, future nostalgia.
H. John in the mix. He'll be joining us later. He'll tell us what the H stands for. Probably like, hello.
It's our only question for him.
Yeah. Does H stand for hello? Okay. Yeah. You know, listen, sometimes my jokes are bad and I know it before other people. Let's start with you, Catherine. So just kind of like plainly, can the Raptors do this thing? And if they can, you know, come back and win, first time in NBA history, what's the path? Like, what does that sort of look like?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think if any team can come back, it's us at this point. Yeah, you know, like after the game three loss, like I definitely had a moment on my show last week where I was definitely kind of like somewhat grieving the series. There's something very, you know, finale in a way it felt like. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, the next day, like on Friday, you know, you start getting into the press conferences and, you know, our good buddy Nick Nurse, he's not our friend. And anyway, our good old Nick Nurse, he's like, you know, sure, it hasn't been done before, but you just got to win one game and then it's 3-1. And then that's been done before. And I was like, you know what? There's just a level of optimism on this team that I really buy into. And they're proving it now, winning the last two. They've made the adjustments. And also, like, this team feels really different than the team we actually started this series with, like, mm-hmm. having Fred, you know, but then not having Scotty and not having a 100% Gary Trent Jr. You know, I just feel like there's been a huge shift in the actual roster, but also every game, if you really look at it, we've actually improved. Like, as terrible as game one and two were, and like game two, I think I left during the storm in the middle of the third quarter to buy ice cream. Like, I just couldn't even handle it anymore. But we've improved.
Self-care.
That's self-care. Yeah, absolutely. You know, but we've actually improved every single game. And like game three, we lost, but we barely lost it. So the momentum is absolutely in our favor. Doc Rivers has his demons and, you know, all of that. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out, but absolutely, I think we can do it. As far as our path, you know, I think I might leave that to the expert Katie, because I don't know if we need to make any further adjustments at this point or if we're good rolling it as we are. But I'm really happy with where we're at right now.
Yeah, I think, you know, good points all around. We have been sort of improving as the series went along. You know, this is a 4-5 matchup. A lot of people picked the Raptors to win. So there's the team's good. And I think with Gary being sick, with Fred being injured, obviously Scotty getting injured in the first game, but for me, more so those two not being able to stop the ball allowed Maxi and Harris to kind of like go off a bit. And then I think tactically giving Harden too much attention earlier in the series was sort of like it made this series look like, oh, wait a second, we were all wrong. Philly's way better than us. And then now that's a kind of corrected. And, you know, I'm not really here to, you know, entertain any like we're better without Fred stuff, which is just, I don't know. The Raptors insecurity is frustrating to me, but like even the, you know, Siakam's not good stuff earlier in the series is frustrating. But yeah, I think we are, you know, as you were saying, like, there's a joy to this team and kind of like a happiness. And like, I'll even add, like, I think there's a relentlessness to this team. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if that's youth or culture or determination or whatever, but well, yeah, let's throw to Katie. Like, hey, Katie, what do you think? Yeah. Do you think it's possible and or plausible and what's the path?
If they play exactly like they played in that last game and do everything the way that they did, and the Sixers also play like they played, mm-hmm. then yeah, it's possible. But I mean, sometimes I remind myself that that's also just the playoffs, right? Is everything is narrowed and everything becomes so much more specific and everything has to be perfect to a certain degree. Like, all stars need to align in a cosmic sense, in a roster sense. But I think the Raptors relaxed a lot more. Like, that's the thing that stuck out to me rather with the last game, is how mature of a team they were. Like, the win, I even didn't feel like so jazzed after the win, because it just felt like they won the game. They went out there and like they did what they were supposed to. It was a very like mature team win to me, which I thought was interesting. And I thought that kind of poise was definitely lacking in the last few games. I think you saw it a little bit on Saturday in Toronto. And I was pretty heartened by it, though I honestly couldn't tell you at the end of that game which way it was going. Whereas last night's game seemed pretty clear to me why, I'd say halfway through the third. Of course, I'm as a Raptors fan, you're still nervous. Like, when the Sixers fans were leaving with 3 minutes to go, I was like, obviously none of these people have watched the Raptors like through the regular season. Like, that's plenty of time.
I know.
To still blow.
Yeah.
Or just watch basketball. Like,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, you like paid for those seats. You just want to chill. But anyway, I thought it was good. I don't think it speaks to like the team being better or worse with Fred VanVleet. I think they adapted, like they necessarily adapted. I also think there's a lot to be said for the things that you're not hearing of how like Fred was obviously coaching the team and I'm sure making adjustments and getting in his teammates' ear. He was like standing at the sideline the whole game. So I'm sure that the way that they were handling themselves also had a lot of input from Fred watching from that other perspective. So I don't think you can really take that for granted. I think Gary's looked phenomenal. I think Precious Achiuwa looked incredible. And I think that, Freddie, to note what you said about putting too much pressure on Harden, I think the Raptors have also learned that when they put a lot of pressure on Joel Embiid, he still kind of withers under that pressure and gets really annoyed, gets super frustrated. And I think the Raptors should absolutely capitalize on that if they want to win, you know, these next two games, right? Yeah, two games.
Yeah.
But I think it's like a one game at a time, obviously. And I know people say that a lot and that term gets used a lot, but it's really difficult to think of like how many they have to win uphill still with like really no room for error. But the only way you can do that is actually just play one game at a time. But I'm hopeful like to come back to Toronto, you know, and like hopefully play with the same cool-headedness that they did in Philly. And then you got to close it out in Philly, which is, you know, we'll get there when we get there. But so far, like, yeah, I think everybody's looking good. Definitely to Catherine's point, like more improved than they were when they started the series.
For sure. And, you know, I'll just, like lots of good points. And like, I want to highlight the Embiid thing. I feel like, sure, there's the antics between like, you know, him, you know, telling Nurse not to complain about the refs and then complaining himself sort of thing. But I think like bothering Embiid, like that might be the main sort of like current that is going to like charge this, you know, potentially historic thing, because I think you can annoy him. You can kind of like wear him down. And I feel like there's a lot of focus on his thumb injury and his physicality. But to me, and I've always felt this with superstars in general, like, you know, people will say like, oh, they gave up or they quit or whatever. And there's not a lot, there's not enough talk, in my opinion, about like mental fatigue. And I think that it's just frustrating. Like, you know, game one to me was really disappointing, but even in game two, you know, you started to see glimpses. Like for me, Boucher has been someone in this series who, you know, he might not get major credit, but he's attacked Embiid, driven right at him. And he's kind of like, after that, like he got a bunch of fouls in game one, he's sort of, he's been composed. And I feel like he's been, you know, he's been kind of like, he's an example to me of the energy of this squad and sort of like what makes the Raptors so frustrating to play against. And Boucher, just like, he's fearless and he attacks. And yeah, I mean, watching Precious sort of, I tweeted out that I feel like we're watching someone like understand the Matrix, like before our very eyes. Like it's insane to me. Like, you know, yeah, I think it's a mixture of like, I don't know if he hit any long range shots, but he took a couple. And then after he took a couple, people are wary that he's going to shoot or hit them. And he's doing a pump fake and then using that to get all the way to the basket. And, you know, for me, part of the path is I'm hoping there is a game where the Raptors can shoot well from three. Maybe that's just like not, we don't have enough spacing to do it, but I don't know. I think there's a game where Precious could shoot well from three or Boucher or, you know, OG for sure. Pascal as well. Like there could be like, oh my goodness, like Raptors shoot like 35% or 40% from three game and it's a full blowout. So I think that is, there's a potential for that. But yeah, for me, you know, it's all about kind of like keeping composure and keeping the enthusiasm and also believing that, like, you know, the whole house money thing, it's like, well, either you believe that or you're kind of just saying that. And I feel like if it's a true belief, then you're sort of just having fun out there. And yeah, the more you have fun, the more the other team's going to not have fun. That's maybe an oversimplification, but it seems like the Sixers have been more so bothered by losses than the Raptors have.
I think they didn't, you win like three in a row, I think they kind of assumed the series was going to end a certain way. Right. Mm-hmm. And that changed. Like, granted, I also think that they'll have adapted and they'll have gotten their feet under them more for this game too, understanding what it means to try and close out a series.
Yeah.
They're going to want to close out the series in Toronto, and obviously Toronto's not going to want that to happen. So I think there'll be some adjustments. I mean, you could talk a lot about Doc Rivers' tactical adjustments, or maybe lack thereof, mm-hmm. tactical adjustments. But I think if they, again, just like kind of keep on hitting everything that they have been, Freddie, like the point about Boucher was good. I think last night I was watching the game and I just thought, like, he's so good because he's so unpredictable.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you get really frustrated at Chris Boucher because he's just out there flying everywhere, like flailing, tumbling, like doing like acrobatic tumbles into the mm-hmm. audience. But there's a certain element that, or like an edge that that gives the Raptors, because it's like, where's this guy going next? You know, like,
yeah,
I assume the Raptors know. Sometimes I don't think they do, but definitely the Sixers don't know. And because I like watching Maxi, like I was more worried about Matisse Thybulle, and he was kind of a non-starter mm-hmm. Last night, but like Tyrese Maxi is really tough to guard because he's so quick and acrobatic and super athletic. So I think that you put someone like Boucher on him, if he can't necessarily guard him, then at least he can, you know, sort of like trade these weird little stunts with him. But I would be more worried now about containing Maxi, honestly, than containing Embiid, because there was a play last night too when they triple teamed Embiid and he just crumpled. Mm-hmm. I think someone got fouled. I think Gary got fouled because he like knocked his wrist or something. But if it wasn't for that, they would have just turned the ball over and I think left Embiid just like on the floor. So I don't know if the spirit is like breaking in the Sixers, but it doesn't look great.
Yeah, it doesn't look great. I feel like, you know, it's obviously been talked about a lot, but like having your fans, like, I don't know, like boo you in the second quarter, maybe even it's wild. Like, I'm not exactly accustomed to that. And maybe like there's a keener part to Raptors fans, but like, yeah, one of my favorite moments as a Raptors fan is chanting "Let's go Raptors" after we lost in six to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Mm-hmm. But it just felt like, I don't know, there was like true respect and love there. And I feel like, yeah, there's a certain conditional element for the Philly fans. Like, it also seemed like they were booing Matisse Thybulle like pretty quickly. So mm-hmm. that's a tough tightrope to walk if your own fans are, you know, quick to judge. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to stick with you, Katie. And this is a classic Freddie convoluted question. But, you know, okay, Vision 6-9 is this idea that all the Raptors are 6-9 or close to. I just want you to kind of like rank like from, you know, zero being like, this is a bad idea and I don't really like this style, to 10 being like, this is going to take over the league. Where are you at with like, well, what do you think about this style? Are you like, yeah, it's okay, but we need a center still, or mm-hmm. we need a backup PG, or what have you, like not just a series.
Because I think it's a transitional style by nature. And it's not, we haven't really seen it in its fully realized form yet. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go 8. I don't think it can also be, and this doesn't mean that it's a bad idea. It's just that it would be difficult to implement it league-wide because you need such a specific type of player mm-hmm. and like a physical type of player. And they don't necessarily, one, I think the Raptors are capitalized on that type of player.
Yeah.
But like that skill set and that body type, it's not that like they exist everywhere in the league. And also to just like be able to put them together and ask them to play, that's an anomaly too. So I don't think it actually can be adapted by the league entirely, which works to the Raptors' advantage because it is a copycat league. Mm-hmm. But when you can't actually copy this, because also I think some teams are like, this isn't going to work. So why do we want to copy this? Or like, we'll believe it, you know, when we see it,
right.
But the flashes are there. I think you and I have talked before about whether or not the team actually needs a true center. I think it would be a bit foolish now to invest in one, because then to me, you're sort of throwing away the blueprint and the progress that you've made mm-hmm. up to now out the window a little bit. I think there definitely are some other adjustments you could make in the offseason, not to get too far out of ourselves, but I don't think it's necessarily what you need to do to like go out and grab a center that doesn't fit You know, I hate to harp on Kim Birch, but he's the closest thing the team has right now to a center, and his functionality hasn't actually improved much. Like in that position, you know, like I've seen Boucher and Achiuwa be able to grab more offensive rebounds than Kim can really pull down. I mean, if you want to talk about like a purely defensive player, I know they're probably not going to hang on to Ito Watanabe, but like his defensive prowess, I know his shooting's not there, but like his defensive prowess is phenomenal. Like you saw it a little bit in like kind of the garbage time minutes thus far in the series, but he can grab rebounds and he can post up where you need him to be. So I think if, you know, like you want a center, you still have to have someone in a perfect world who has the strength and the size, but also the versatility to shift, you know, like maybe go to the four if you need that. But I think I like the vision. I'm with it for now. The playoffs are like a good time to test and see what happens, considering the fact that no one even thought the Raptors would be here at the beginning of the season. I think, again, that's more proof to this working. And it's like fun to experiment too, finally, I think, right? Totally. Like you see so much of the same thing in the NBA that why not actually try something? And I respect the Raptors and Masai and Bobby for wanting to give that a shot. Nick too, for like the being able to coach,
for sure,
to coach that roster. But yeah, like I don't really want them to give it up, because also now the roster isn't, I don't really know what else they would do.
I know, it's like, they've invested in this for sure.
I feel like they're in it. You know, I think they're in it for the long-ish haul.
I'm, you know, a million great points, and I'm with you. I'm like an 8 or 9 on this team. I think if we did get a center, it would have to be someone who fit this sort of style. Otherwise, I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot of opportunity for guys that aren't even playing like 35 minutes a game, who deserve it on this roster. And yeah, I mean, I hope we hang on to Utah, because I feel like when I look at the bench, he's probably the guy I think who could slot in the most, for like exactly what this team does. And plus, you know, he's at least shown glimpses of being a pretty ready or willing shooter. I feel like he definitely is timid sometimes offensively, but you know, if he's able to be coached to a certain point where it's like, hey man, like you can shoot, like just feel free to like let it fly, like, you know, like sort of what Precious and Boucher, they seem like they're in this nice zone of even Thaddeus Young, you know, I feel like he's someone who came from the Spurs.
We didn't even talk about Thad's, like Thad, the secret weapon of Thad.
Well, and Thad,
in the last two games,
he kind Beautiful. Of like, he to me is almost like, you know, obviously this isn't like a 2019 championship, like, you know, world beating type of team, but he's sort of like, he's bringing a Marc Gasol vibe to this team, in my opinion, where he's kind of like, I fit already what it is you do. And I've been doing it not on my own, but like elsewhere for a long time. And I'm going to incorporate myself, like, you know, pretty smoothly. Catherine, what's up? Well, what do you think about Vision 6-9? Is it something that can work like beyond this series? Like, is a playoff a good stress test for it?
Well, first of all, kudos to you for creating Vision 6-9.
Oh, it's not mine. I don't think I made it up.
Who made it up?
Someone did. I've seen it around too.
It's been
really I feel like I here. Haven't seen this. I thought this was all you.
No, mine that I'm trying to push is Scotty Magic.
Oh yeah, I've enjoyed that.
That's
too.
Mine.
You know? I've been supporting Scotty Magic.
Thank you.
All right. Well, okay.
You're like, now that's not yours.
No.
I don't know what to say.
No, I think like right now on this current day, on Tuesday, April 26th, and I say that because I could change my mind. Right now, I'm probably going to rank it a 7. Okay, so I'm not quite as hot on it as you two are, but I will say, like, look, like, we've obviously overachieved this year. We can say that, you know, we figured out rotations. I guess Nick Nurse figured out a way to teach everybody every play from every vantage point, which is pretty phenomenal, but also give the players credit for actually executing that. You know what I mean? So I think all that's really great. But when I think about, like, you know, is this team going to win a championship, or what it would take for this type of you know, all 6-9 lineup to win a championship. I don't think it's impossible, but in my mind, I feel like you at the five, ideally, you would have like a Draymond Green like player and like defender. Cause like watching him in this series against the Nuggets, I mean, there are moments where you're like, this is just a straight up masterclass. Mm-hmm. In defense right now, like he has been phenomenal in that series. And I think when you think about like what it would take to fully win a championship, I think you would need defense at the five at that level. And I don't know if this iteration of the Raptors really has that. So it's like, I'm happy with how we've done so far. And I'm happy that we've overachieved in that being fifth in the East is Masai's version of a rebuild. Like all of that is like pretty incredible. Yeah. But when I think about becoming a championship team, I don't know if we're quite there, but I do think what we're doing this year has been really experimental and really fun and successful. And, you know, in terms of running it back, it's kind of like, sure, why not? Cause like, I don't know who else is out there. Like, I don't think there's like a Jarrett Allen type center that's like realistically available for any sort of trade. So it's like, I don't know who we would get in place of anybody we have. Right. I've been really impressed with Precious Achiuwa's growth post All-Star break. I think that's been a huge difference maker for us. I'm not as high on Kem Birch as I think other people are. And I don't want to, you know, I don't like slandering or disrespecting anybody, but I just think like, we might need somebody stronger in that position and able for us to move forward. But yeah, that's how I feel right now. I would give it a 7.
Yeah. I mean, again, so many good points and well said. And I think I'll jump on the Draymond thing. That is a really good comparison. Cause I feel like he, you know, with all the center talk around the Raptors all year, there's sort of this unacknowledged part to me anyways, which is that some of the best centers in NBA history are 6'8", you know, whether it's like Ben Wallace or Draymond Green. And I think people really focus on, you know, protecting the rim directly, like Rudy Gobert style.
Yeah.
But there's protecting space and there's like exploding pick and rolls and there's being intelligent on the court, you know, and thinking quickly. And Draymond is that all the time. And I think, you know, all the Warriors dynasties, right? Like they would start kind of with a nominal center, but then it would drift into a place where Draymond's the center. And if teams tried to back them down or bully them, then they were kind of playing into the Warriors trap. And I'll go like, I'll take that a bit further. And I think part of the reason I'm like an 8 or a 9 on this is I think that the Raptors have all the players they need to win a championship. Not necessarily this year, but when I look at, you know, Barnes, I don't see why Barnes can't become Draymond on defense. Like, I just don't. I feel like he's strong enough. He's fast enough. He's smart enough.
He's got that long wingspan.
Mm-hmm. He's got the wingspan. He can pass like Draymond, if not better. I mean, I'll hold on that a little bit because Draymond's, you know, incredible. But I mean, you know, at least as a rookie, he's showing signs of that. And yeah, I mean, interesting points about Birch. I feel like for me, Birch is like an important part of this team, but perhaps not like a core guy. Like, I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, I feel he is really good. He's also had like a very unlucky year. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's like a fair, you know, thing to say, but sometimes players are unlucky and he's had quite a bit happen to him that I'm not sure is like a thing that will happen every year. But yeah, I don't know. It's really exciting. And like, you know, back to Katie's point too, like I think it's fun to have a team that's like trying something different. And I mean, I'm all in that regard alone. Like I think it's cool to be doing something different.
For and, sure.
You know, being a unique place in Toronto in the league and just be like, fine, you know what? We're going to be super international. All of our players have wildly long arms and in a pace and space era, we're going to, like, I think I was saying this, maybe 2 episodes ago, but I think the Raptors are playing into the new rebound radius of the NBA. Like, you know, like rebounds are going, you know, less, more horizontal and less vertical. And, you know, they're not going so high, they're going far. So I feel like we're able to rip down those rebounds when mm-hmm. we have so much activity, and guys like Boucher and Precious and OG as well. And it's pretty exciting times. But
I think I do think the last thing I do want to say is I don't know that they're championship ready, only because I don't think the depth is there. And yeah. I think that's still one of their main problems, whether or not like you want to remedy that with getting a more like Draymond like center. I still think the fact that like you saw it in last night's game, no one can sit, right? Like, yes. And you can't afford anything to happen to anybody else, because unfortunately, like just the bench, we don't really have a bench. Like the bench mm-hmm. isn't there, you know, like Svi, Mila, like Utah, like they had some great flashes. I think earlier in the season, Utah had a lot of injuries. Like he also had kind of a bad luck season. Mm-hmm. Svi, I don't know. He was one of those guys that Nick Nurse was like high on and then decided he never wanted to hear from again, I guess.
Seriously.
Like, that can happen. Yeah. Delano will, I think he'll get there. He's not there yet. Like he's still such a green, you know, like explosive good. And like we were saying about Boucher can sometimes just be an explosive, like falling down all over the place kind of player. But I think he'll get there. But yeah, like you think of the bench mob kind of era, when you could toss in your bench unit when, you know, a guy like Embiid was sitting and like not just win those minutes, but like cannibalize those minutes. And Toronto doesn't really have that right now. And you're not going to get very far in the playoffs, right? Where every series can go, you know, can and usually does go 6 or 7, right? Mm-hmm. Especially like getting down the stretch, like past the early stages where we're at now. So I think that's kind of one thing that they still need to work on, or they should work on this off season.
And I think also like, one point I wanted to add too, is I feel like IQ, and just like experience is going to come into play. Mm-hmm. You know, this is obviously presumptuous, but you know, let's say we play a team like Miami, I think, or Boston, like I feel, or Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. I think all those teams move the ball just at such a level that Philly does not do. And there were a couple of plays even last night where Philly moved the ball really well. And it's like, this is how you beat the Raptors. Mm-hmm. You use their aggression against them. And, exactly. Like the depth is going to matter. You play a team like Miami and the Max Struces and the Gabe Vincents are like, they're ready, you know? Mm-hmm. And even if they're in there for 15 minutes, like they know what they're doing and they're focused. And it's just like, it's a type of locked in attitude I feel like you generally get from veteran teams. But the Raptors are not veteran yet. And me saying like, I think that they're the championship, you know, is within this team is sort of like, well, what I also mean is that, you know, there might be a summer or two of like improving shooting and ball handling. And like, I think there's still a lot of internal improvement needed. Mm-hmm. But let's talk some NBA. Maddie, my dude, would you please give me your most, I don't know, weird NBA sting?
I bought Twitter. Yes, Grimes helped. But I did it only to talk some NBA.
Okay.
Was that Matt Elon?
Was that Elon?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yes, he bought Twitter and Grimes helped.
Oh, was that Grimes and Elon?
No, that was just him. But he did shout out Grimes that she did also pitch in on the Twitter purchase.
Oh, huge. Thanks, Grant.
Like financially?
Yeah, she bought a couple shares.
Oh, my God.
It's only 52 bucks. 52 bucks a share. She could do at least two.
They're really just getting ready to go to space. Those two.
Yeah.
Honestly. Saying goodbye to this world.
Totally. She'll maybe bring Montreal with her. I'm not sure. But shout out to whatever website you found, Matt. It keeps giving. And
Elon say he bought Twitter so he could talk about the NBA?
Yeah.
Actually?
Yeah, that's what he said. He said that's
he could talk about the NBA for free.
Like, I'm sure even they'd have him on NBA on TNT.
But now we'll have a proper digital town square to talk NBA.
I'll have him on buckets and tea.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think he might be purchasing Raptors Republic. I'm not sure if that's his next move. If it's like a forceful takeover, but
flattered by the investment.
Who do you think Elon roots for? The Warriors?
Feel like
that's a good one.
That's a good question.
It's close to Silicon Valley.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, but probably the Warriors.
You know, it's going to be something weird because he's not always such
like an efficiency nerd, but he's like loves chaos, obviously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe the Raptors.
No.
Where does his Rockets shoot from? Is it from like Texas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He could be a Houston fan.
I mean, he could really buy the Rockets.
Yeah.
They're always bragging about their no state taxes.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Yeah. He's probably down with that. He's like, okay, you know what? I'm going to buy every Rocket in the world, and then I'm going to buy the Rockets. Then I'll attend the games. I don't know where that
in that order. In that order.
Okay, like a little bit of a serious setup, but I'm hoping to take this to a silly place. So Glenn Taylor, owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves, has, been, I guess, made more famous in a way that I'm assuming he doesn't like. There's been three fairly, I don't know if high profile is the right word, but there's been some pretty like strategic, interesting protesting going on. And I was saying before the pod, I'm very pro protest. But yeah, these have been, I don't know, dramatic in a way that I think the NBA hasn't seen in some time. So he, I guess, is an investor in, I'm not sure if it's like if it's Factory Farms or some big company, but there's a bird flu in Iowa, and they needed to, I guess, exterminate a certain amount of
millions of chickens. Yeah.
Millions of chickens. Thanks for chiming in, Matt. You're like, Freddie is a wandering. But yeah, I know. So I don't know. I guess it was done in an unethical way. So the protests, I think they started even in the play-in perhaps, but the first one I saw was a woman glued her arm or attempted to glue her arm to the court. So that was one.
Oh my God.
The second one was a different woman chained herself to the net. And the third one was two women sitting courtside dressed like referees. I'm not sure if they were both dressed like referees, but they I guess went over to Glenn Taylor and tried to like tech him out of the game sort of thing. And oh, that one was God. More, it was more of a violent, like this. It was a very, it looked like a violent scenario. I hope that everyone involved is okay. But it just got my brain rolling. Like if you were to protest a game, how would you do it? I want to see what creativity we can come up with. And I think it will be a little bit silly, even if it's, like for a serious reason. Let's, Katie, can I go to you first?
Sure.
Is this too weird? Should I go? No,
I also have to say I was laughing, not when you were saying someone was maybe getting hurt. I was laughing because I think that's pretty clever to like go in and try and tech up.
Yeah.
Well, that's this is where the energy for this question is coming from. Like, I'm impressed with these protesters. Like, they're in my opinion, they're 3 for 3.
Like, I mean,
they made the news.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah.
I'm all for, I also will say kudos to Pat Bev, who I think with the woman who glued her hand, he was the only one who went over when that was happening. And when she was getting pulled away by security and he was like, to the security guard, he was like, you should relax. Cause I think they were getting kind of rough with the protester. Yeah.
Love that. Thank you, Pat Bev.
Thanks. Yeah. Pat. Agent of chaos himself.
Yeah. He gets it.
There's a lot. There are, if like we're gonna go all in on evil owners, then I think just about all of them probably are involved in some pretty nefarious shit. You know, whether that's even just where their investments and their dollars go. So I'm all for protests. I think like sports has a long and very like rich history with protesting that has become a little bit watered down, I'd say.
Totally agree.
So it's a bit heartening, honestly, to see And it kind of sucks because you also have people, I think, making fun of these protesters, whether that's because they're women, whether that's because you're not necessarily used to seeing this within the NBA space, whether that's also because I think animal rights protests get a certain, I don't know if there's like a hierarchy of causes, mm-hmm. but, you know, like, I don't know how to say this in a polite way. It attracts a certain kind of person.
Yeah.
Who maybe yeah. protest in a certain kind of way, like a yeah. wackier.
It's a bit like zany.
Catherine knows what I'm saying.
People like to trivialize.
You know what I think? Yeah. This is an intensely Canadian, but I always think of Elizabeth May, our girl Liz, who whenever she showed up yeah. to a yeah. leaders debate, you were always like, Liz, are you wasted? But 100%. I liked the energy of it, you know, because yes. I miss it now when they have those debates. It's like, get Liz back in here, man.
Yeah.
Shake it up a bit. I don't know. I'm trying to think what I would protest. I don't know. I think I'd want to involve the t-shirt cannon.
Oh, okay.
If I hijack the t-shirt cannon.
Oh, that's good.
And fill it with
paint.
I was going to say water balloons, but you could do paint balloons. Sure.
Like you're just firing into the crowd.
Just like
I don't. But then I don't hit all the NBA.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fill it with the goop from the hit Canadian show. Uh-oh.
Oh yeah, you could. Slime.
Yeah. Slime. That was
actually, I'd
show.
Be into Thanks. Slime and people because you've got the people up in the rafters. I always see this when I'm at Raptors games up in the media seats, and you see when they drop the parachutes down, and the poor people that have to go up, way up into the like beams and the walkways up there, mm-hmm. and drop the little parachutes. You could slime people from up there, but I would probably try and slime the court so I'm not hurting anyone because you could probably kill someone yeah. if you're sliming them from that height.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
I'd probably want to do like an abstract protest, you know, maybe a nod to contemporary art.
Thank you.
Performance. I thought you were going to go through the strategy without saying your cause.
I don't. I'm also buying myself some time to think of a cause. But
I haven't really
thought of one.
We don't have to have a specific cause for this.
Mine would just be chaos. My cause is chaos.
Sure.
Okay. So,
but not in a joker-fied way.
I like that quite a bit.
That is wild.
That's okay. Yeah, slime cannons. You're dealing with like the fan experience, but it's like
Go to a game again if people were randomly being slime.
Well, hey, that would be effective, right? It's like, oh, I want to go to this
you
game.
You would have
but
to
like,
give me
section 103.
I would need the best shower cap. Like the idea of all that slime in my hair, I couldn't handle that. And
Catherine shows up with one of those umbrella
lion's
things.
Lion's mane?
On your head.
Or they're wait, why is everybody in section 108 have on full hazmat suits? What do they know that we don't?
Katie's in the house.
That's
okay,
incredible.
This is good. Catherine, what's up?
I love how you brought, you were like, let's bring up this very serious political situation that's happening around the NBA. Let's not address our feelings about it at all. And instead,
yeah, a bit of a misdirect.
Imagine our own zany protest.
I mean, I did give kudos to sports protests.
Yeah. No, yeah. You did. Yeah. You did. Yeah. You did, Katie.
But I did.
Thankfully, Katie did because I wasn't going to.
Absolutely did. This is incredible. I mean, first of all, I will give my thoughts on this protest. I did this a little bit on my podcast. I think factory farming is not good. And I think there's something to be said for us caring a bit more about factory farming. Mm-hmm. With that being said, you know, and the reason why something like a bird flu outbreak happens is because of unsanitary conditions mm-hmm. at a farm. Same with swine mm-hmm. flu, same with mad cow. So it's I get that. But once you know the bird flu is there, you have to exterminate all the chickens so people don't get bird flu. Like, we don't need another pandemic right now. So, I mean,
or future chickens.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I don't want a second pandemic.
So it's just like, also like glue is made out of animal parts.
Mm-hmm.
So,
damn it, horses!
Oh, yeah. Because of the glue person.
Well, you know what I mean? It's like, whatever. So it was just like that. I didn't understand. That to me was hilarious. A vegan using glue in a protest. And then I think Foyzy and I, shout out, were joking about how that's why the glue didn't work, because it was vegan glue. But
maybe.
It's just like, but I, you know, give them credit because it's working, right?
Totally.
Like, it's working. And I think it's a really, it's actually a very complex issue because, yes, like, I don't like factory farming is wrong, but it would also increase the cost of food. And then it's like, are we at a point in society right now where we could actually afford an increase in the cost of food? Because that would hurt, you know, that would hurt people who are lower income and marginalized in other ways. And so it's just like, it's a highly complex issue, mm-hmm. but it's interesting to me that it's getting attention. It's important. I don't think people should completely laugh it off. Although I do think some of the strategies are wild, like the glue and the giving the guy the timeout. Like, these are proper stunts.
That's like, yeah,
proper, like, Hollywood stunts. Like, it's pretty wild. So that much I have, I'm definitely laughing and enjoying. But yeah, it is a serious issue that deserves attention. What would my protest be? You know, I don't know. I'm really liking Katie's idea of hijacking the t-shirt guns. Mm-hmm. But instead of shooting out like water balloons or slime or paint, I was thinking this is actually a serious answer. What if it was like Brittany Griner jerseys or t-shirts? Like, wouldn't that be cool?
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool.
Also, like, as a Canadian who's in Canada, if you try to order WNBA merch from WNBA.com, it's like really expensive.
Yeah, it mm-hmm. sucks.
Because it's like, not only do you have to like have the actual like US to Canadian conversion, there's like all these extra like fees that I don't like, crossing the border fees that I don't really understand.
And delivery's slow, okay? My Rachel Dolson t-shirt has not showed up.
Oh my God.
I was ordered a long time.
Where did you get the t-shirt from?
From WBA.com.
Oh, that's nice. I was like, you could get a Rachel Dolson t-shirt from somewhere else, probably. or make it custom. Support local. Anyway, I just thought, like, oh yeah, it would be cool to do something to support Brittany Griner during the games. It's very relevant, but mm-hmm. also there's reasons why people have, well, reasons I don't understand, but people have been told to be quiet about it. So there's that. But yeah, for me, that would be my current cause and my current way of doing it.
Cool. Nice. I'm into it.
I can't imagine myself running onto a court personally. I can't, it's hard for me to imagine myself running just generally.
Right.
Like, I'm not really a runner.
Like, you're like, not going to happen. You walk.
Like the only time, like, you know, you put a bus in front of me that I need to catch, I am running, but right. That's usually it. So,
hey, I'm with you. Like, I definitely feel like I would
get tackled so fast. The
scenario, yeah.
I would get tackled so fast. I'm just too much of a turtle, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. If it was like a
you're a lot more spry than me, yeah, Freddie. Like, I think you could hold your own for a few seconds, I think.
Okay.
I think I'm going down real quick. And then it would be like a real thud, like when Embiid hits the floor, like it's a proper thud, like everyone would hear it.
I love how you went straight to like, listen.
Yeah, like when it hits the floor, run, and everyone's like, ooh, I don't I'm at, like, that's how it would sound if I hit the floor for sure. So
okay, Maddie, what's I'm just your
projecting all my own insecurities now, but yeah.
Hey, I that's how I live my life. Maddie D, what's your tactic?
Okay, so I'll start by saying that something that I fear a lot in life are choking hazards. I don't like choking hazards, especially when food is involved.
Fair.
So what I'm protesting here.
Let me just say, I feel like I picked an insane question. So my apologies.
This is an insane question. Also, I'm sorry. I'm laughing so hard because I'm like, who likes these things? Like, you just said that, like, there's an actual
Everybody likes it. I'm the only one protesting it. Everyone loves to choke. Well, apparently they do, because down in, now fans, stay with me, down in New Orleans, the mascot is King Cake Baby. Now, what is King Cake Baby? Apparently there's a style of cake down there, and they bake a little tiny plastic baby in the middle of the cake. That freaks me out. Listen, fans, don't send me Jawbreakers if you're a fan of me or anything. I ain't going to eat it. I don't like stuff. I don't like having to worry about plastic things in food. Hard enough when they're on top of cake. Is that real? Is that chocolate? You never know what you can eat. I don't like it. So they put these little babies in. What I'm going to go and do, I'm going to pay the $500 for a parade permit in New Orleans. Okay. I'm going to get the two-cop escort. I'm going to dress in my own King Cake Baby mascot costume. Sure. And we're going to be rolling in to the arena there in New Orleans during a game. You know, they're what? They're 2-2 right now or whatever. They're feeling good. So they're going to see, oh, here's King Cake Baby. Wait a second. King Cake Baby's already here. The real one's looking at me. I'm looking at him. And then I smash the big King Cake Baby head to reveal myself. And everyone's like, oh my God, it's Seafood Guy from The Boys. And then.
This is good. This is good. Makes no sense.
And then, so I come out, I got a bag of these little babies, a bag of them. And I go, do you guys want to worry about this hazard in your food, or do you want to put it on the top of the cake? Then everybody who's eating food at the arena, little do they know, I put a King Cake Baby in all the food in the arena. Someone takes a bite of their hot dogs, like, there's a King Cake Baby in it, a pizza, a shawarma, whatever. There's a King Cake Baby in it. And then everyone's getting freaked out, and we start chanting, put it on top, put it on top. Okay. And that's,
yeah, what? Like, yeah, Matt's protest is.
What
like,
if some of them actually choke?
Oh, yeah. See, well, that's part of the hazard I'm trying to do. But I do have training in CPR, and I will save every single person in there. I'll also have a team.
Just get it. You're choking to death. Get in line. Just get in line.
Oh, this, maybe that'll be my last eventually. Protest. I just put one in my mouth and choked to death in front of everyone. Made it a little dark, but really just trying to get that fake baby out of the cakes.
Okay, yeah. Can I ask some follow-up questions?
Sure, sure, yeah.
So who's the seafood person?
Seafood Guy. Hi, I'm Matt Duncan. I played Seafood Guy in season one of The Boys.
It's a good scene.
Yeah, it's a huge scene. Yeah, it's about, you know, under 10 seconds, but I do get I get some comments here and there about me being Seafood Guy. So I'm just thinking,
are you on Cameo? Are you available on Cameo?
I'm definitely on Cameo. It is like under $10 tier, but I know, you know, it keeps pays the rent, as they say.
Cameo pays your rent? Oh, yeah. And under $5 tier?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I do 600 a day.
He pumps them out. He pumps them out.
Yeah, I do 600 a day. It's tiring.
Wow.
Okay. So that explains. Okay, you know what? I'm good. I don't need to ask any more follow-up.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I'm going to give like the most docile version of this answer. Mine's, you know, dressing up as the mascot. So Matt did that a little bit, and or finding a way to take over like comms. So like when they show the like kiss cam, it would be like a setup thing. It would be like, okay, we're going to like, you know, it seems like you're bouncing around the arena, but like I've organized like the camera crew to like do an elaborate protest. So like each different, you know, like group of people are like part of whatever's being protested.
Oh, so
that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's mine, you know, because it's like then it's seen, it's in the arena, it happens too fast, people are confused. I'm sure someone like, you know, cuts the cable or whatever cord, because that's how cameras work. well, they do have cords, okay. I almost knocked over my laptop. This is good. Yeah, so that's my strategy. Now, okay, I'm going to move on.
No, this is also sometimes on my podcast, I'm like, man, what am I going to ask people?
Hey, ask me. I'm a weirdo, you know?
This just never crosses my mind. So,
hey, you know, stunts cross my mind. I watch a lot of Super Dave Osborne growing up.
and it shows.
Yeah, great show. So, this last one, I don't know. I'm not sure what direction it's going to go in, but you're two people. I'm really interested in your respective takes. Maybe I'll just say mine sort of quickly in the framing of the question. So I wanted to ask you both, how do you feel about the Ben Simmons discourse? And I don't know. I feel like in general, I want to lean towards like, give players the space, you know, for mental health, like in a real way, not in a way that's like, okay, great, you're feeling good, now play. And it's like, well, that's not how, you know, mental health works. It's not like, you know, yeah, whatever. It's not a simplified issue. And I think I'm bothered by the lack of nuance in media. You know, recently, you know, Shaq and Reggie Miller and other players have sort of called Ben Simmons out. Obviously, Stephen A. Smith. Personalities like that, but yeah, he didn't play in game four, and it seemed like maybe he was going to. There's sort of a like a I guess like a shut up and play tenor to it, as well as a genuine curiosity from my end of like what exactly is going on here. But yeah, so just with that lead in, Catherine, I want to go to you first. How do you feel about not Ben Simmons, the Ben Simmons discourse?
Okay, well, that's interesting. Like, I feel like, I mean, I agree with what you're saying, but I do feel like on Ben Simmons' part, there, you know, not that he owes us the public any information, but I do feel like there's been a lack of transparency between him and his respective teams. And I think for any human being, you know, who works for a living, if you are having mental health issues to the point where it's debilitating and you can't do your job, you need something to show that. Like, you need something from a doctor or a psychologist or something. You know what I mean? And he hasn't, to my knowledge, so please, like, if I'm wrong, I'm sorry if I'm wrong. But to my knowledge, I don't believe he's provided any of that. I think he has said that he's seeing a therapist when he was with Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, I mean, he's showing up and saying like, oh, my back hurts. Right? It's not a doctor saying his back is whatever, he can't play. Now, I do think mental health anxiety issues can manifest in us physically, mm-hmm. you know, because he hasn't played. So it's like the injuries are confusing for us who don't have all the information.
Right.
But again, it's like you need to, and he doesn't owe the public that, but he needs to at least have some kind of conversation with his employer where there's some sort of, frankly, evidence that might not be right or fair, but some sort of evidence that suggests like, yeah, he really can't play, because any one of us would have to do that at our jobs. We don't just get to tell our boss, you know, day of, hey, like my back hurts and I haven't been in a good place mentally. I'm not going to work for the next, I mean, how many months now has it been? Right. So it's just like, there needs to, it's tough because it's like, I actually do believe Ben Simmons has mental health issues. And I think a lot of people don't believe him. And I think that's part of the problem around his discourse. Mm-hmm. But again, yeah. It's like, mm-hmm. he needs to show his team something so they don't have these false expectations of him playing and then he can't do it. Or he doesn't want to do it, or he physically yeah. can't, or whatever it actually is.
Yeah, well said. Like, I feel like what exactly, like, you know, the receipts of something like this, like, well, what exactly they look like? I don't know if any of us know, but I do think that you're touching on sort of like the ambiguity I'm feeling anyways, like the it just doesn't seem like anyone's on the same page. And there's lots of frustration to go around. So I do feel like, there's just, a lack of clarity around that. And I totally agree that the public isn't owed anything. You know, us as analysts, as podcasters, like we're not necessarily owed that. I'm also, and I'm going to go to you, Katie. I think one area I'm a little bit just confused on too, is like, what is the proper steps here when, you know, your job is an extremely high pressure environment. And what is, how can, I mean, you don't have to have an answer, but like, how do we better handle that as a public, as a fan, as a, you know, as the people running the organization, like what is the best way to approach that? But yeah, how do you feel, Katie, about like, you know, the discourse and in general?
I mean, I think it's definitely shown that we're not collectively very good at processing mental health, like in not just athletes, but I think people that are in a certain spotlight and kind of hoisted up to mm-hmm. a certain like sense of maybe public proprietary, you know, ness, mm-hmm. Like athletes kind of fall into, because I think there's Freddie, like you hit on this a little bit earlier, but there's like a sense of a timeline. It's like, yeah, okay, well, we kind of accept what you're saying up to a point. And I think for Ben Simmons, that was up to the trade getting yes. out of Philly. And I think everyone collectively agreed that was a situation went on too long. It really dragged out. But it like, maybe as soon as he got out of there, like he would miraculously, you know, just like do a total 180. And I mean, that was pretty laughable to me, because as anyone who's been in a shitty work experience or like had a shitty job in their life that they either left or was like, you know, got fired from or whatever, it does stick with you for quite a while after, depending on
sure.
like, the nature of the job and, you know, what yeah. you went through there.
Could be traumatizing.
Yeah, exactly. It's not, certainly a weight is lifted when you're out of a toxic environment. But it stays with you. And I also do think that there's a lot that we always have to remind ourselves that we don't know about. So I agree with both of you. I don't think Ben Simmons needs to disclose anything publicly. Like, no one is owed that. But I think that also goes back to the sense of ownership of athletes, because they are such public personas. We, and like the discourse really encourages that. This like breaking down in of like such minute things, like day in, day out, like the discourse never stops about anything. So certainly like the churn doesn't stop this. I do know that, and I was surprised by this, but he did have to, there was like a news story about this too. I don't mean like, I know I got the tip.
Whoa, Katie's breaking news.
But like he did have to have an epidural, like for some of like the back problems that he was yeah. having fairly recently. So, you know, that's pretty substantial. Mm-hmm. And I think that's more than enough evidence that these aren't like psychosomatic, like back yeah, pains yeah. that he's having. And I do think, you know, as you both said, those can be exacerbated if you are in a bad place mentally, you know. So I also actually want to say, I think there's too many people involved, because when you break it down to like Clutch, you know, like his agency and then like PR on the team side and like, I'm sure just like Ben Simmons's camp, which like includes quite a lot of people.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons sort of gets swallowed up in all of that. I don't know why the people around him have kind of, if there was a sense that he was going to play and that was his decision and he said, okay, I feel ready, that's one thing. But I have a kind of this sense of the waffling of like just the optics of wanting to have him there has sort of hurt him even more. I think it might've been better right. for him to just like not be present. I know right. there's a sense of like, well, where are you? Why aren't you showing up for your teammates? But like what we've already seen from the Nets, like pretty distinctly, is like, this is a team that is lacking chemistry in the sense that it's a team of individuals mm-hmm. who haven't actually gelled as a team yet. That's not on anyone's person's shoulders. That's something they've got to sort of figure out. But that's also like a question of like, can you build super teams like that anymore? You know, it's maybe not the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting a little off topic, but
no,
I don't know.
I think the cohesion and dysfunction is a big part of this. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I just, I don't like the discussion, but it is also, I'm not like, some people are seem to be so sick of it. I'm not, because I think it's interesting. And it just shows how imperfect and bad we still are at having these conversations. And I think, you know, they're not going to go away, right? Like, I think in sports, you kind of get used to things clarifying themselves, like mm-hmm. win, losses, everything's very like, you know, quarters, analytics, like everything can be very cut and dry and neat. And, you know, these are people at the end of the day, and nothing is really neat about that, right? Like, especially when stuff kind of carries over onto the floor. So I don't know. I hope he has a good, restful off season. I hope he comes back if he feels like he can come back ready to play. I imagine this is something we're going to hear about what actually happened, you know, maybe a few years down the road, maybe sooner than that. Like, this stuff has a way of getting out. Maybe Ben Simmons will come out and talk about it. Mm-hmm. I doubt it. Doesn't seem, he also, it seems like the, just the shyest, quietest guy. So that's tough too, when you add it into the mix, but I don't know, the discourse, it ranges from intriguing to just like awful.
Yeah. Well said. Like, you know, just that last part, like intriguing to awful. I, you know, as you were saying that, I feel like there's even some physical examples. Like, you know, I think Raptors fans know the Kawhi scenario so well, you know, particularly after he came to Toronto. But with San Antonio, there was a lot of, you know, I guess like disagreement on his physical ability. And like, I think as a fan that watched Kawhi in Toronto, is sort of like, I don't know, to me, it was very clear that he wasn't all the way healthy. And, you know, there was a certain amount of listening to his body that San Antonio wasn't doing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, like, I don't think the NBA or the public of the NBA has a good recent or, you know, long history of trusting an athlete when they say that they're not doing well. You know, yeah, I mean, you know, Simone Biles comes to mind. Like, there's a lot of like an athlete, once they put themselves out there and they say like, you know, I'm not, like, this isn't, something's not right. Royce White as well, in the NBA. It's sort of like, it hits this, like, it grinds to a halt. It's like, okay, yeah, we know you're not right, but push through. And I think that some situations that like almost it blows up the whole situation, because it's like, you can't push through certain things. And what those things are, you know, Katie, you said too, like, not everyone, you know, fits into like a timed 12-minute quarter sort of thing, or not every injury has a, look at Victor Oladipo. Like, yeah, you know, not every injury has like a very straightforward trajectory. And I think we should get to a place where we understand that a bit more with mental health. But yeah, it sort of dissolves in the discourse. But Catherine?
No, I was just gonna say, like with Simone Biles and Naomi Osaka, like when they've come out and talked about their own mental health issues, I mean, it's different because they compete as individuals and then they'll drop out of a particular tournament, and then they don't get paid. Right. So it's like, I think with Ben Simmons, it's like the issue around pay is like another layer to all of this.
Right. And the bargaining and all that.
Yeah. Like what part of this is an injury and what part of this is his refusal to play and all of that discourse too. It's just, I'm just commenting to add that that's a whole other layer.
No, totally. And the arbitration and like all the stuff, like, I think, yeah, it's a convoluted thing. And anyways, yeah, I'm happy to have you both on and talk about it. I really appreciate you both. And yeah, I think that's it for the pod, but,
yeah, we could do a whole hour just on that topic. Right?
Yeah.
And just on protests
and just on slime.
Yeah. And slime. Yeah. This is great. Yeah, thank you both so much. Catherine, let me go to you first. What's up? Where do you want to let people know? Where can they find you? All that good stuff.
Yeah. I do a show here weekly with Raptors Republic. We try to put out episodes on Friday, which is half NBA, half Raptors. And Freddie and I do our WNBA pod, The Pickup. We've really dived into the whole Brittany Griner case, if you're curious about that and want to learn more about that. It's a very open and friendly podcast for new WNBA fans. So feel free to join in. New season starts May 6th. Really excited for that. And as far as like anything else I'm doing, shows, etc., you can find me on social media, Twitter or Instagram at @itsme_Catherine, spelled CATHRYN. Thank you.
Amazing. Thank you, Catherine. Katie, what's up? Where can people find you? What do you want to let them know?
Well, I wrote something about Brittany Griner and the situation, like the ongoing situation, that I think I agree with both of you very much that there should be more conversation around that, but I wrote more of like a historical reporting on the history of underpaying women and what that does in terms of forcing them, you know, in the case of WNBA athletes to play overseas, and just like the, in a historical context, basically, and looked at some other examples of other women's sports. But that's on a website called Music, Movies, and Hoops. I also recently wrote two features for Dime on UpRock. So the first, I guess, is kind of a joke, but I was really obsessed with Draymond Green said something in a post-game presser last week about guys, certain guys you think are guys are not actually guys. So I dove into who's a capital G guy.
Yeah, what's a guy? Yeah.
And what's the differentiation, you know? Yeah. And then I also wrote a feature on Luke Bonner, who is, you may be familiar if you're a Raptors fan, with his brother, Matt Bonner, who used to play for the Raptors. Mm-hmm. But Luke was a college player, and then he launched a company about a year ago called Power Forward. That's kind of like an online... basically, he started it because he wanted to put money back in the pockets of athletes selling merch. But they've actually undergone a really interesting pivot where they're all in on the women's game now. And that's where they're focusing all of their energy. So they've done things like bought season courtside seats in every WNBA market. And they're giving those out to members of their community. They have a lot of really cool projects coming up with WNBA players. They're launching like a whole suite of NFTs. And I just wanted to talk to him about why they made the pivot. Little spoiler alert is because he said they just like working with WNBA players the most, but there's a lot more to it. So that's on Dime too.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if you're listening to this podcast, make sure to follow both these good folks and check out their work and support them. And yeah, thanks for supporting us and appreciate everybody. And I'll also say thank you, Maddie, for being great and such a fun person to work with. And Maddie, if you feel like we're done, we're good to go, just give me those delicious words. Okay.
Okay.
Listen to the Confederacy of Dunks exclusively on the Rapcast.